Hi, I'm David Jackson, and welcome to my podcast, D-Time, a personal project of mine where I simply share what I'm learning in life spiritually as a Christian, husband, father, and human. Each episode, you'll hear from myself, and I'll also sit down with a guest and talk about various topics and get their insights as well. Life is all about learning, and I love learning from other people and seeing what sparks come from discussions on everyday topics. Thanks for listening. Hey everyone, welcome to D-Time, episode 23, Using Your Talent. And for me, I've never thought of myself as a talented guy. You know, there's things that I feel like I know how to do, but if you were asking me, am I talented at it? You know, I wouldn't say yes. You know, I used to draw a lot when I was younger, played basketball. And those are things I felt very confident doing. But if you're asking, hey, are you talented? I'm like, oh, no, I'm not talented. I know how to do it. And, you know, that can trickle when we get older. As I've gotten older, you know, it's hard for me to really think that, hey, I do certain things well. And, you know, sadly, you know, that affects confidence. That affects so many things. And so I thought it'd be cool to really talk about using your talents in a spiritual way, but very much in a practical way as well. You know, there may be people out there that are struggling with confidence and struggling with feeling like they do things well. And I want to encourage those out there listening that, you know, if we pit ourselves with, you know, people that we maybe are looking at that are talented at, that we feel are talented at certain areas, or if we're measuring ourselves up with them, you know, you're starting on the wrong foot if you're doing that. I think talent varies from individual to individual, but we all have talents in different areas. There are different things that we each do well. And the cool thing about it that I'm learning just recently is that even if you feel like you don't do something particularly well, you can grow, you can learn, and you can add and strengthen that skill set. And so even if you feel like you're not very talented in a certain area, you can gain talent, you can gain acumen in that area. And so I want to encourage/challenge those out there, if you're struggling with that, to really apply yourself, find out ways where you can grow different areas of your character, different areas of your talent or skill, and go after growing that, you know, because again, we all have talent. I get to sit down in part two and sit down with a friend, Lisa Zigweed, who's super talented, has a wealth of knowledge in a lot of different areas. And we talk about not only discovering your talent, how we view our talent, but how do we use our talent, or how do we view our talents in effect. And I'm excited for you guys to listen into that, hear what she has to say. And again, if you're struggling with this area, as always, leave a message in the comments. Follow D-Time Podcast on Twitter and Instagram at D-Time Podcast, and on Facebook as well. Leave a comment, share maybe some stories on maybe there's something that you weren't good at that you are now, or maybe something you would like to be good at and don't know how to really go about it, and we could build from there. So stick around for part two of D-Time with David Jackson, Using Your Talent. Peace. Hey, welcome to D-Time, part two, season one, episode 23. I'm here with Lisa Zigweed, and today we're talking about using your talent. So, Lisa, welcome to D-Time. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you, David, for having me.
Awesome, awesome. So before we dive into the topic, why don't you take a little bit of time to introduce yourself to the listeners?
My name is Lisa Zigweed. I was born and raised in Walla Walla, Washington. Lived there for most of my life, and I'm now, I guess you can call me a native of Washington, and I live now in the Seattle metro area. I guess one of my biggest passions in life is I love the history of roller coasters and old amusement parks. I've been a member of the American Coaster Enthusiasts since 1999, and I've been a regional rep for the Northwest region for that club since 2012. The North region, West region covers Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and British Columbia, as well as Alberta. I'm also the American Coaster Enthusiast Preservation Manager. So I'm very active in that club. That's one of my first passions. So I collect a lot of old memorabilia from parks that no longer exist in the Northwest, posters and banners and so forth that are in our house. I used to have a website that had defunct parks and coasters on it. It was kind of like a database. I enjoy pugs, been active in the Seattle Pug Rescue. I used to design creative t-shirts for people who own and love pugs with funny sayings on them. I did that for a couple of years and donated some money to help the rescue out. I've been doing that since 2008. I'm a huge Muppet fan, grew up with the Muppet Show, and incorporated puppetry, writing plays and so forth, working with kids when I was in my 20s and working in different churches with that. And that was a lot of fun, and I have a very creative mind and can come up with stories, visualize things very quickly. Huge Godzilla fan. I used to have a huge Godzilla collectible figures, and I ended up selling most of them because they took over my office. But I still have a few of them around our house. I guess I like it a lot because it's very campy. When Toho used to own the Godzilla franchise, they were a lot of fun to watch. When I graduated from college with a minor in English and with a major in English and a minor in drama, I traveled 2 years in a Christian drama organization called Covenant Players. I traveled all over the country. The only part of the country I didn't travel to was the Northeast area in Connecticut, Boston, Maine, New Hampshire, that area. But I pretty much traveled all over other different states, and actually I got to experience different kinds of cultures. I didn't know that there was such a diversity in the states. And this was about, let's see, I graduated in 88, so I joined the fall of 88, and then I stopped touring in the summer of 1990, and I learned a lot from that organization. And I felt it was of great value for me, and it helped me in my faith grow quite a bit, and just lots of stories of traveling with three other people in an old van that would break down in the middle of nowhere, or even in the middle of the night, actually, and I got to see how God would work in mysterious ways in helping us out. So that's a little bit about my background. I don't know if you have any other questions about that.
Oh, no. Thank you for sharing. No, that's perfect lead into my next question. So today, you know, we're talking about talents, and you know, for you, you know, you listed a couple of them already, but what do you consider your talents to be? Maybe your favorite or top ones, but what do you consider your talents to be?
I'm very creative. So God gave me this amazing ability to visualize things. And when I was growing up, I had a kind of a struggle with that, because my mom would put me into art classes because she was the motivator for all of us kids when we were growing up to use our talents and to be active in the community and in the church. And whatever we did, she would always encourage us. And so when it came to artistic stuff, she got me into different art classes, and I would visualize something like in a picture format or in a movie format, and I couldn't translate it into ink or into paint on canvas or on a piece of paper. So I didn't understand what that was all about growing up, and even in my teens and even in my early adulthood. And then when computer graphics came along, actually, I started picking that up when I was a youth leader in a church. I was learning, it just came right out of me. I was able to put it on a computer screen and able to lay things out and with photos and everything, and using things like PageMaker, which, that's an old dinosaur program. they no longer use that in the industry. But so then I when I was in my late 20s, I found out, okay, this is going to work really well. And so photography and doing layout work for magazines or for newsletters just came natural for me that from then on. And also in helping me discern about other people too, God would use, I believe God gives me, uses my talents and my spiritual gifts in the Seattle International Christian Church, for example, to help me to know what to pray for other people that I know, gives me visualizations, you know, well, you need to pray for this particular sister or this brother who's going through this right now, and I see a visualization of them. So in that instance, that helps me out considerably in my life, and it's also helped me out in memorizing scripts when I was on the road in Covenant Players for those 2 years. I would be able to memorize like 5-page scripts, and there'd be only me and one other person in the play, and we had to perform it like the next day or 2 days later. And I had to memorize it and learn blocking at the same time, practically overnight. So I had photographic memory, I guess is what you would call it. Also working with kids, I had a knack for that. Kids were always drawn to me when I was in my 20s. Later tweens in my 20s in college and in my adult life, they'd just be drawn to me. I'd make friends with them right away. So when I got out of the Christian Drama Organization, that's kind of where I was leaning towards. And I went to Bible school to get a youth certificate and to work with kids. I also learned that I had a talent with trouble kids, because I was kind of troubled in my own teen years and growing up in my house, even though my dad was a doctor and we did very well financially. There are some dynamics that weren't quite healthy in my family. And so I had great empathy when we had to do a ministry while I was at the Bible college in working with troubled teens at an alternative school in Issaquah. And interestingly enough, I was actually put into an art class with them. So I was able to not really use my artistic abilities, but kind of encourage them as they were working on these tough projects and helping them along. And the teacher, she had to meet with us off and on to have a one-on-one and let us know how we were doing and all that. And she ended up offering me a job there, actually, which I found out was not what she was supposed to do. But, yeah, I got along well with the kids. It's very patient with them. And I had great empathy for them. But in an artistic environment, I kind of understand the two go kind of hand in hand, because you have emotions and you might have some trauma in your life. And when you're able to put things down on paper in whatever way or manner, but it's in a creative way, a lot can come out in that. And sometimes kids had a problem in tapping into that. And I was able to just sit next to them and, you know, just talk with them. And the more they opened up, the more they were able to put it on paper. So I found that very valuable. In computer graphics later on in life, that was just a natural thing for me. I worked for Rant Magazine and doing layout on it, like an assembly line kind of environment. Didn't really care for that, but I learned a lot about that part of that industry. I was more or less like working with photography and doing layout work with that, which I did at Northwest College. When I was in my mid-30s, I was a publications person. So my greatest talent, I think, has been the ability to visualize immediately, right away, and to be able to use that in so many different ways, not just in art, but in other ways to help people out. And also writing too, creative writing. Because I when I was in puppetry with kids, I would write plays for the puppets. And that was a lot of fun because I knew the language the kids spoke. And I have a lot of kid in me, so that was kind of a natural thing to do.
Awesome. Cool. So Obviously, I think, you know, this is one of the reasons why I wanted to sit down with you, because I know you have a wealth of knowledge and creativity and having a lot of talent. So one of the things that I've noticed is that particularly, you know, maybe my generation, even younger, it's kind of hard for people to, one, identify what their talent is, and then two, when they identify it, to use it and specifically, you know, as Christians, use it for God. So if someone were struggling with that concept of using their talents for God, what sort of advice would you give them?
Depends on the individual, and it depends on the environment. When I was going to college, well, it wasn't really college, but it was, I guess you'd call it a technical college, for computer graphics training. And it was for pre-press training. So there were three areas. You had your computer graphics area. You had your photography area where you would take negatives and then put them, I forget the terminology. You'd print them out so that you could have them put on plates. And then the plates would be sent to the press area to print it all off. And this was in the old days before everything was electronic. Digitalized. Anyway, and I was walking out in my car, and I made friends with this one gal, and she was feeling discouraged and kind of down, and she was really trying to figure out what she really wanted to do. She was at this college, and she wasn't happy with just the kind of work she was doing, wasn't feeling good about herself, and so we just started chatting, and she didn't know what her talents were. I don't even think she understood what the word meant. Mm-hmm. So I took some time with her and told her that talents are the things that we're born with, that we're naturally good at. So and I explained to her like my experience with my own talents and things that I'm just naturally drawn to and that I want to work hard and becoming better in. And those are the things that interest you, the things that you take joy in doing, or the things that are just natural that come to you. And she started understanding it a little bit more, and I asked her questions about herself, like, are there certain things that you like doing, you know? And it took her a little while, and then she goes, well, I like crocheting, I like to do this and that and this. And I said, well, besides enjoying it, are you good at it? She goes, yeah, some people have said that, and some people say I'm kind of good at this, you know, but I don't really know. I don't know where my talents are. I said, well, you just told me. You just shared with me what they are. And usually our talents, the things that we're good at, are the things that we're interested in as well. So that they kind of go hand in hand. So I hope I helped her out a little bit in helping her feel less discouraged that everybody has a talent. And some of us, I think everybody has more than one talent. And I encourage her to find things that interest her and to check them out, because there's usually probably a reason and a purpose why she has that interest. And so I did a more uplifting kind of approach with her rather than just, you know, well, this is what they are and, you know, this is what you should be doing. Because a lot of people do that. They become a little prideful, I guess, or, you know, they know something about this, and they're aiming to become better at it. And someone who's feeling discouraged, they don't have the time of day to try to help uplift that person and, you know, take time with them to figure out, you know, what it is that they're supposed to be doing in life that is better than just getting paid, you know, $10 an hour or whatever minimum wage is. Well, it was $7 an hour then. This was in the 90s. But yeah, I was trying to be encouraging for her, because it is a sensitive area for a lot of people. I was fortunate. I grew up in a positive environment where it was encouraged and I understood what the word meant. But, I've met a lot of people where they don't understand and they haven't had that positive, encouragement in their own upbringing. And so they have to go out into the cold world and figure out, you know, what is my purpose? Mm. And our talents is a big part of what our purpose is. It's who God designed us, I believe, to be in the world, using the talents that he gave us. They're God-given talents. They're what we're born with.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks. That's a great insight. So Lisa, I like to ask everyone the same question, you know, when I sit down with them. What's the best piece of advice that you've received? And it doesn't have to pertain to this topic. It could be, you know, just in general in life.
Best advice. Well, when I was in college, I think it was my first year, I had a professor in an English class really like this paper that I wrote. I don't remember what class it was. It's like a 4-page paper I wrote. Mm-hmm. And she wrote, when we got her papers back, she gave me a high marks and A++. And she wrote like a paragraph long things. And she said, come see me if this is what your major is going to be. I really want to talk with you. And being a freshman, you know, and I didn't know really what I wanted to major in at that point, you got me really excited because it is a creative talent, you know, and I felt something exciting when I was doing it, and like it just flowed naturally, and I got, you know, a little electricity going on in my brain, and I could visualize, there's that, and so it was another thing that came natural for me, so I took a few more classes, and my problem was, I was like about 19, I was using a lot of adjectives. I felt in order to get what I was visualizing in my brain across on paper, I had to use a ton of adjectives to describe things, but it made the writing more complicated and more like, what are you trying to say here? Besides using all these descriptive words. And so in one English class, a professor, it was a little harsher, sat down with me, and he did this one-on-one with all the students near the end of the semester. And he goes, you know, you have really good writing. You've got a good brain. But he said, simplicity is best. And this was way back in 84, 85. And it stuck with me since then. And I've used that advice since then. And whenever I come across it, anything that I've worked on in my life, whether it's for the roller coaster club I'm writing for, or it's church related stuff or anything else, that comes back to me when I get a block in my head and I can visualize something, but it's not really all there and I'm getting a little frustrated. And for a creative person with frustration, that can be like a writer's block that can just cut you off from continuing forward, doing what you need to be doing. So when I go back to simplicity is best, then I can just like relax and put those frustrations aside and just take my time and enjoy, you know, doing what I need to be doing, whatever project it is. Because that word simplicity takes a lot of pressure off of my mind.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Yes, simplicity is best. Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk about this subject. Appreciate it. For those listening, if you have any thoughts or comments or maybe even questions about talent, feel free to leave a comment in the episode description or send us an email at dtimepodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, on Instagram at dtimepodcast. Lisa, thank you so much for taking the time out again. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for joining me for D-Time. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If there's a topic that you'd like discussed, you can leave suggestions in the comments or follow this podcast on Twitter and Instagram at D-Time Podcast. See you next time.